replenish, reimagine, recapture, rise.
Good morning, everybody. It's a better morning than that. I flew in from California last night. Good morning, everybody. What a privilege it is to see you, to be with you. I'm kind of restricted because of the camera. I feel like I want to come back to the last row and say hello to you all. Welcome. Welcome to Rise. I hope you've been blessed thus far, journeying and seeing our colleagues serving and being with one another. What a privilege it is to speak to you on behalf of the other 4,000 pastors across North America. And we are growing. We are in need of younger pastors, but praise God for the faithful pastors who continue to serve. And today I've come to talk about a passion in my own life. It's a passion because it's a constant struggle. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And I want to talk to you about living a balanced life under the subject, self-care is not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. Let's pray before we start. Father, would you bless this room to enter into your gates with thanksgiving? And may we have a heart of praise as we talk about a subject that I know for you, you want us to live a life that is with health and prosperity and hope and faith. So bless us now as we discuss and talk and dialogue in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First and foremost, the most boring seminars are those that somebody stands up front and they do all of the talking. I didn't come to do all of the talking today. I really came to talk with you and amongst us. And so I don't want this to be a monologue. I want it to be a dialogue. Amen? And so please, please, if you have questions, if you want me to restate something, I will have questions for you. Let's really make it a wonderful journey for this next hour as we dialogue together. As we think about our work-life balance, I want you all to know that we stand on the shoulders of many workaholics in ministry. Can you name some of them? James White. James White was a workaholic. He died an early death after three strokes. And in fact, I don't have it with me this morning, but Ellen White prayed a prayer for her husband that God would restore him and help him in his journey of recovery and really work-life balance. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So that right there tells us that there is more work than there are workers. Amen. Somebody help me. That means that one person, in fact, I had a senior pastor when I was younger in ministry. His doctor, his physician said, are you trying to bring on the second coming all by yourself? He was having health issues, and the work overload was just too much. So he had to adjust. He had to step back and balance his life. And so here's my question today as we lay a foundation for our seminar. How can we be all in for Jesus and still live a balanced life? How can we be all in for Jesus and still live a balanced life? Self-care is not selfish, but self-dependence is futile. Self-dependence is futile. I am so passionate now in my latter portion of ministry about team. When I first came out of school, I wanted to change the world by myself. And it didn't matter if anybody else joined me, including the church members. But now I know how futile that was. That was a self-dependent attitude. Now I am so passionate about team and empowering others and duplicating what I can do, but it makes sense to make it, to spread the work through others so that the work can get done. So let's press on. I don't know if you all can see the screen where you are. I want to read this quote by William Willimon. He says, "The fuel." How many know that in ministry you need fuel? Yes. Energy. Stop right there before you read the rest of the quote. What depletes your energy? Come on, can we talk about it for a moment? What depletes your energy? Are you energized by people, or are you depleted when you're around a lot of people? What depletes you? Yes, Pastor Goodman.
I am depleted by people. And we look at that as somebody being an introvert.
Yeah.
It's an introvert as opposed to an extrovert. I still like people.
Yeah.
But I'm drained after being depleted.
Man, I think you and I are brothers because I get energized by the people. You know, the Bible says Jesus saw the multitude and was moved. So we can get energized by people, but at the end of the day, we crash. Yeah. Anybody else? What depletes you, your energy in ministry? Let me know if I'm being obedient. If I go too far, just tell me to move back. I'm getting excited. That's all right. Anybody else? What depletes your energy in ministry? Or do you know? It's important to know. It's important to know. All right, let's press on. William Willimon says, "The fuel that supplies the energy to minister is a conviction that what we do has meaning." It has meaning. And I really believe that that is the sustaining fuel of ministry, that what I'm doing matters. You know, do our board meetings matter? Does my to-do list matter? Pastor Horton, good to see you, sir. does what you do every day have meaning, or has it become just a part of what you do? When you lose meaning, you lose fuel. When you lose meaning, you've lost conviction. I love this quote by William Willimon because it is foundational to us in ministry. Boy, don't we have meaning and purpose because of Jesus. But it's possible to lose that even as a minister of the gospel. First Thessalonians page 383, the reason why there is so little of the Spirit of God manifested is that ministers have learned to do without it. We can function in our skill sets. We can continue on in our passions. We can do the work of Christ spiritless. And I believe ultimately we will come to find out that we'll be operating on fumes without God's Spirit. So I want to talk to you today about a few things. I want to talk to you about resilience. I want to talk to you about stress, burnout, and I want to look at what does self-care look like in ministry? To you, what does self-care look like? And so as we think about ministering and trusting in God's divine power, you know, the Spirit will show us the things to come. That's why we can't do a spiritless ministry. We need God's Spirit to help us to know what's coming our way. There's a book here called Mending Ministers that we gave out at the last Called Convention. It is here if you didn't get it. Brad Forbes has it in Advent Source. We wrote this book with an emphasis on holistic wellness, mind, body, soul, and spirit, so that pastors and their families, and this is based on research, can ensure that they were living a life to the fullest. You know, it's time to stop thriving, to stop surviving and start thriving in ministry. You can tread water so long that you think it's swimming. But how many know treading water and swimming are two different things? So we did some research looking at what pastoring is all about. And you see these uniforms that people wear. People know when they see a fireman. They know when they see a physician in a white coat, so forth and so on. But what about the pastor? What about the minister? Can you all read this where you are? Can you join me in reading it together? It says, the pastor's role is the only profession whereby are all wrapped up in a single package. Okay, let that rest for a moment. Let's read this next, finishing the quote by Lord Riediger. People in other vocations can at least escape into their religious faith when the pressure is on. But those in ministry must face the pressure. When a nurse leaves the hospital, they can leave the stress behind and not deal with it until they come again. But where does the minister go when their faith is depleted, when their work and their faith are all wrapped up into one? And so Lord Riediger is dealing with the tension here. He's dealing with the tension between my faith and my work. Oh, I got to stop there for a moment. Is there a difference between my faith and my work? That is a question. Anybody wanna stab at it, answer it? Have you thought about it? Why does it matter? Okay, y'all are quiet on me today. There is a difference between church work and the work of the church. There is a difference between my personal relationship with the Lord and my work for the Lord. Are you all with me? Let's see how we can unpack it as an example. If you're spending all of your time at a building and not with your family at home, that is an imbalance of church work versus your personal walk or journey with the Lord. Because if we lose our families, we've lost everything. And so the balance of living between work and faith, my faith, you know, some pastors get all twisted. They say, studying for a sermon is not personal devotion. Well, sometimes I get sermons out of my personal devotion. And so I don't want to get into the whole dichotomy of where you draw that line. The bottom line is, I believe we know when our faith and our quote-unquote work for the church, where that line should be drawn. And when it's blurred, that's where it becomes a problem. Some people are convicted that doing church work is a part of their faith. I personally don't agree with that. And as we go on and think about self-care this morning, this whole area is called role ambiguity. What is the pastor's role? What is the family's role? What is the worker's role? as they think about self-care. We developed these seven core qualities. Please stop by our booth. We have some Pentecost t-shirts to give away and quite a few things we want to share with you. But we discovered after research of pastors, elders, lay members, professors in our schools, after researching and talking to them and having really thousands of conversations, we developed these seven core qualities that help us to focus on the work of ministry: character, evangelism, leadership, worship management, scholarship, and relationship. So let's lay a quick foundation biblically. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And what was the purpose that he gave pastors? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body. So he gave us this gift, this calling, so that we can equip others to do the work of ministry and edify the body, so that we can come in the unity of faith. Pastors, I want to foot stomp here. We live in a very polarized time. I run into Adventists who are more passionate about being a Republican or a Democrat than they are being a Christian. And one of the things that Jesus tells us through Paul's writing in Ephesians 4, our biblical role, talking about role ambiguity, our biblical role is to bring the body into unity, not division. I heard the story during COVID of a person who came with a mask, and a person said, "We don't wear masks here," and popped the man's mask off, and they got into a scuffle in the lobby. Well, as a pastor, as a shepherd, our role is to bring unity. Bring what, everybody? I hope you're not a pastor who likes to fight. I have a friend who likes to fight a lot. That's not the role of a pastor. And so we won't be tossed to and fro. And so our people, the people we lead, won't be led away by every wind of doctrine, the trickery, cunning, and craftiness. Our role is to bring clarity to the body of Christ. Let's press on. Here is a man. His name is Epaphroditus. He is Paul's assistant. And the Bible says about his assistant, the church found out he was sick. Epaphroditus, Paul's assistant, the church found out he was sick. And we're told that the church was distressed because he had heard that it got out that he was ill. And the Bible says, indeed, verse 27, he was ill. And verse 30, Philippians chapter 2, he nearly died. Why did he die, everybody? Almost die? For the work of Christ, risking his life to complete the service to the church. And sometimes we try to make up for what our body is not doing. So we put up all the chairs. We cut the grass. We do the work that really we ought to empower others to help us do. Epaphroditus almost died for the work of Christ. I'm getting to self-care in just a minute, so hang with me. When the disciples buried the beheaded John the Baptist, we're laying a biblical foundation. I've never been to a funeral of a beheaded person. John the Baptist, his head was cut off, and the disciples got his body and they buried him. And the Bible says when they came back to Jesus and told Jesus, this is what he told them. He says, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and do what? Rest a while. I am so glad our Lord was in tune to their emotional, physical, spiritual state They were devastated that John the Baptist was murdered. And Jesus says, okay, let's get away. Let's come aside and we're going to rest a while. For they were coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat, the Bible says. And when they went away in the boat to a lonely place, they went away by themselves. Our Lord modeled self-care. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, he increased in stature. He increased in wisdom and stature, mind, physical, and was in favor with God spiritually and man socially. Jesus lived a balanced life, and he wants us to as well. Most of our pastors, we'll see this in a minute, want to remain in ministry as Seventh-day Adventist leaders. And I praise God for that. But we did interview 14 pastors who left the Adventist Church. And we're going to just share what they told us about why they left. First of all, they had ongoing challenges with who, everybody? Yeah, there were only 14 that we interviewed that we knew that left. But here's what they told us. They left because they had challenges with the members. That's an aha moment or no? They also told us that they encountered difficulties with what? Conference leaders, leadership. These 14 also said that they were feeling dissatisfied and discord concerning many things in our church and the Adventist Church's organizational structure. They were being very honest and open with us about why they left. They went on to tell us that they felt constrained by traditional approaches in ministry. Why am I dealing with this? You'll see in just a moment. They sensed a lack of caring from administration and church members. Sometimes pastors do feel sandwiched between those that they serve, congregation, and those whose leaders are in the conference or union and so forth. Some left because they had spiritual doubts and doctrinal differences. They lacked training that they needed to do their job. And we're trying to really work on that. That's why they left. And we'll look at those who have stayed and why they're staying in just a moment. But what are your self-care motivations? We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not unto us. One of my self-care motivations is first that God has called me. He has given me a vessel to use for His glory. And that is my first and foremost reason that I'm called to do this. That's a self-care motivation. And so if I don't take care of me, I can't take care of my family. This is my family. They are a part of my self-care motivation. How many of you can testify that you know if something happens to you, you will be replaced? Hello? We are not super glued in all of these positions and wherever you serve. We are not only indispensable, but we are replaceable, and the work of God will continue on. So it behooves us to live a life to the fullest, but to be motivated about taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of our families. And here's the team I serve with at the division. We have to take care of those that are in our inner circle. If I don't take care of myself, there's no way I can lead this team to serve. Self-care is realized in many ways. We're going there. All right. We studied this, why pastors leave and those who stay. Praise God. We looked at 14 who left. We looked at 750 who remained in ministry. 41% said that they feel like leaving sometimes, but 32% of the pastors shared discouragement that nobody seemed to care. 27% the drive to move to another kind of ministry. 15% said that they were thinking about it because of health issues, burnout, church politics, and so forth and so on. Let's press on. Out of these 750 pastors, 82% said that they were very likely to remain in ministry even if a job with similar pay was available. Praise the Lord. 75% are likely to stay in pastoral ministry until when, everybody? Retirement. I want to foot stomp here for a moment. We just got $1.5 million from, what's the place we got the grant from in Ohio? I'm going blank. It'll come back to me. What is it? No, not the Harding Institute. It'll come. It's a big one that they give money to ministry every year. Not the Barner Group. I can't believe I'm going blank. Anyway, we just received $1.5 million to help our pastors to understand better of how to live a life of financial wellness. Financial wellness. This fall at year-end meeting, if you've never watched year-end meetings at the North American Division, when I pastored, I didn't watch it. It didn't really matter to me, I didn't think. But this year, we're dealing with remuneration of our workers. We're dealing with our structure. And we're also going to talk about the shortage of pastors and teachers. So these are going to be some very important conversations this fall. But praise the Lord, 75% said that they will stay in ministry until retirement. I praise the Lord for that. 61% saw pastoral ministry as their ideal in ministry service. And the sum is that the majority of our pastors love being pastors and want to stay in ministry. Can you say amen to that? As we think about self-care, let's just quickly look at resilience. The ability to adapt, withstand, grow, bounce back, and retain your identity in the face of challenging uncertainty. Being resilient. I used to see a little cartoon called Gumby when I was growing up. A little green man that can stretch and go under doors and do crazy stuff. But that cartoon to me is etched in my head now as an adult, because that cartoon for me symbolized resilience, being able to stretch, grow, bounce back, recover. This is very important as we think about self-care. What's the difference between stress and burnout, family? Let's jump in and talk about it. What's the difference between stress and burnout? Anybody? Please speak loud for us, Pastor. Okay, so you said burnout, you're kind of out of the loop. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Burnout, you don't care. Your body is going down. And stress, you said, was what? A mental thing. Okay, I love it. Yes, Pastor. Ah, burnout is when you're struggling without hope. Stress is when you're struggling with hope. I want you all to know that stress is stimulated, burnout is experienced. If I am removed from the stressor, my stress goes down. But you can be removed from stress after you're burned out and still be what? Burned out. Burned out can be seen like a forest fire where it is burned and all of the bark on the trees are blackened, and the forest is no longer living. Stress is something that you can better control, and I'll say this, stress unmanaged and undealt with will equal burnout. This is on tape. I'm wondering if I should say this. This is a secret right in this room. I hope it doesn't go beyond that. My grandfather used to write members' names on the golf balls. There goes Sister So-and-so in the woods. He said that would help his stress. What are ways in which you manage your stress? Talking about self-care, what are ways in which you manage your stress? Let's talk about it for a moment. Yes, Pastor, please speak loud so we can get it if we can.
Running.
Excellent. And?
When he comes home from church and it's really been a tough Sabbath.
Yeah.
Or a board meeting, he'll sit down and play the piano just to diffuse.
Ah, yeah. Running and playing the piano. I love it. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Pastor, what do you do when you're stressed? How do you manage your stress?
Gardening.
Gardening. Oh, you're my man. I love to get my hands in the soil. Yes.
Fishing?
Man, that wouldn't help me at all. I'm sitting there waiting and nothing is coming. Praise the Lord. That helps your stress. I love it. I love it. Pastor? Basketball. My goodness, brother, I got to take you out there then. Check you out. Yes, Pastor?
Karate.
Karate. Yeah. Yeah. All right, I won't ask you if you break the boards. But, yeah. Come on, let's talk about it. How do you manage and do you even recognize when your stress rises?
Yeah, I think one of the go-to for me is sleep.
Huh.
So stress is related to certain triggers.
Hmm.
During the evening or early morning, that means, and my mind is running.
Yeah.
That means I'm stressed out.
Ah.
If I sleep through the night, I'm good. And so when I identify that trigger, knowing what that is, it is then that I begin to make necessary procedures or methods to try to relieve myself.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. How many of you can testify that your mind sometimes does race and it doesn't allow you to get the proper rest? Yeah, yeah. You know, traveling sometimes, I'm in hotel rooms in the bed, middle of the night, looking up at the ceiling. I said, man, I might as well get up. I can't sleep. Might as well get up. But yes, all of these are things that come because of stress. And I just want to foot stomp today and say, find ways to manage your stress and to live a life of balance and to its fullest. Burnout or compassion fatigue is experiential, mind, body, soul, spiritually. It's the full term. When you get burned out, you need to really just take a break and come aside. And hence, you know, we've really pushed for and encouraged conferences to start sabbatical programs. Let me see if you have a sabbatical program in your conference. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have taken advantage of a sabbatical program? Okay, Pastor, okay. In the back, Pastor, tell me how you benefited from taking a sabbatical. How long was the sabbatical, and what did you do on the sabbatical? Okay. Ah, okay. Got it. Well, what a blessing. That's a great time to take one between churches. Inevitably, while pastoring, when I was on vacation, someone always died. Or some emergency would come up. And Pastor Horton and I had the privilege to work in California, and we were always on the phone, even on the golf course. So coming aside and taking a break is huge. And please, if your conference doesn't have a sabbatical, encourage them to develop one. We have created a template for them to follow, and it's meaningful. REI has a sabbatical. Did you know McDonald's employees have sabbatical capabilities? And if anybody ought to be a specialist in sabbaticals, it ought to be Sabbatarians. But and it's not necessarily a vacation. It is a break so that you can come back in full steam. And so thank you, Pastor, for your testimony, and I'm glad it was refreshing for you. Let's press on. Burnout is feeling of energy depletion. You know this. Reduce professional efficacy, and your work is impacted. We've started this Adventist Healthy You. We have a Pastor's Health and Wellness Committee at the division that focuses on changing institutions, our church, to be an advocate for well-being, and church administrators and leadership to provide recommendations to administration that creates awareness of clergy care and promote a culture of institutional change and support. Lastly, implement best practices of flourishing ministers. What does a flourishing minister look like? So glad you asked. We're going to get into that in a moment. This committee also looks at the causes and symptoms of health issues among pastors, and how can we change that through research and getting feedback. So what does self-care look like? I want to start by saying self-care looks like a balance. If I were to do an audit of your week's schedule, would I notice that you live a balanced life? It is also boundary setting. How many of you have had to learn the hard way that saying no was not a sin? Yeah. What are some ways in which you practice boundary setting? You can't do that with your wife? No, we're not talking about with your wife. We're talking about with your work. Well, marriage is work, but we're not talking about with your wife. Yes, Pastor.
Take a regular day off, and I had one of them come to me and say, "You have the devil doesn't
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good response. That's a good response. Anybody else? How do you practice boundary setting in your own personal journey as a minister? Yes, Pastor.
One thing I've had to learn is early in my ministry as a Bible worker, actually, I would have a Bible study scheduled one night, and somebody from church would call, "Hey, I got 2 tickets to the hockey game tonight." And I'd be, "Well, no, sorry, I've got this Bible study." So I pass up on the tickets, go to the Bible study, and they're not there.
Yeah.
And after that happened a couple of times, I've now learned when somebody calls me, not that it doesn't happen every day, but when somebody calls me and says, "Hey, I've got 2 tickets to tonight's game," I call my Bible study that evening and reschedule.
Okay. It works for you. Love it. Love it. Boundary setting. Are we available 24/7, 7 days a week? Should we be? I hear some tension in the room. Emergency cases? There's no such thing as part-time pastor. Yeah. So what does that look like when we set boundaries? Is that antithetical to ministry? That we are not available sometimes? It's what? Pastor Goodman, you had your hand raised. Did you want to say something?
I physically may not be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But a lot of times mentally, I feel that I'm on call.
Got it.
Because even if I'm not physically at the church or physically in the office, I'm always thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what I have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you that calling has no time clock. But accessibility and calling are different. You are with me? And being... I will never not respond, but I may respond in my own time. Because, can I share this with you all? You can't give what you don't have. And if you are depleted, you have nothing to share and to give. And if you are always available, what message does that send to the congregation? I mean, we're not superhuman. Remember Paul's assistant, Epaphroditus, when he heard the church found out he was ill, he was disappointed. Why don't we want the church to pray for us when we're sick? Why don't we want the church to find out that we are human? We are human. Yes, Brian. Yeah, it does.
A lot of times we're just kind of going through the motions in some cases, operating without the feelings. So we're working and doing the work of the church, the work of the Lord, and operating without the power that we need.
Yes.
So I'll say without power, there's times, and I know if I'm running and things are going, I need that time, I will turn the phone off and cut it off.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to check it in about half an hour or an hour, but I will turn it off, free my mind.
Yeah.
And to come back and check it for a reasonable amount of time. We have to find ways to set boundaries that work so we can have that power to be able to serve.
So true. Please remember there's a difference between calling and accessibility. Let's try to balance them out. Yes, Pastor.
Came to us in South Atlanta, and we
Yeah.
And the effective of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Of how we deal with our member on a personal relationship. When you personally talk to them and explain to them what's going on along with you and the members. So the boundaries come, and I was listening to Heather this morning. She said, well, she brought out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Servant doesn't mean you don't set boundaries. It means that you're going to take care of them throughout the circumstances.
That's a blessing. Thank you for that clarification. Sabbaticals are for people who work. You ought to get that tomorrow. You'll get. Yeah. So, you know, you go to your conference for a sabbatical, make sure you've worked. And also, what causes frustration in congregations is when they can never get us. Yeah, that's the opposite. But if you are available, accessible, they know that you're human. They know you have a life, a family. And you want to live a balanced life. Yes, Pastor?
One thing that happens to some of us who are around for a while is we grew up when if you didn't answer the phone, you didn't know who called.
Ah.
Now we do know.
Yes.
But sometimes we're still working in the previous mindset.
Hmm.
But one thing that has become a risk is if I don't answer the phone at the moment it rings, how do I know that I will ever get back to that person? So in all fairness, and I've had to do this over the last few years, I need to establish reliable systems to actually get back and not just think that I will get back.
That is
then
correct.
Once they're in place, I can actually let go and rest.
Yes.
But it's going to be different with different ones of us, whether we run around with a little book or it's digital, whatever it looks like, it's so different. But when we have dependable systems to know what we missed, then we can begin to budget in our minds how much time to allocate to the various things that accumulated.
I love that. The to-do list is usually longer than your time.
Yes.
And when you miss something and you go forward and having to go back, that could be stressful. So dealing with it then, not being not delaying the inevitable is huge. So I appreciate you bringing that out. We do need to develop a system that works for us. Amen? All right, self-care, personal time with God. We must spend some time with the Lord in order to share the Lord. You know, it was said of the disciples, these men were with Jesus. And that has to be said about us as well, spending time with him in order to share him. We can't share him if we don't know him and haven't been with him. Pastor, I see your hand.
I was just going to go back to just the point you made before that.
Boundaries, yes.
I want to ask the question, how much does a relationship with the members matter? You know, setting the tone earlier, letting them know that you love them, that you care for them, but there may be moments and times where things will come up in your life.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you for that question of clarity, and maybe we can talk about it here for a moment. I think first and foremost, our responsibility is to care for the body that Christ has given us. So if you don't hear anything else, please hear that. People will give you grace when they know you care. If you're never there when family members die, if you're always absent at crucial points in their life, in the hospital, they don't even hear or see anybody from the church, including the pastor. When it's time for you to be given that break, that boundary setting time, they are less graceful. And so caring should be first and foremost what we do. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but can I say self-care looks like visiting the members, because when you care for your members, they will care for you. When you care for them, they will care for you. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
An example of what you just said was, what we are now, we went in trying to set the tone to be caring and loving, and about 8 months into it, my wife got the breast cancer.
Ah.
And the love that came back.
Yes.
Because of that, and I don't believe it's because of the breast cancer, because I've been treated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Love begets love. Grace begets grace. Caring, it brings back a reciprocal relationship of caring. Make sure you have clarity of purpose. Sometimes congregations want their pastors to be everything to everyone. I think sharing, you know, what your gifts set is, and can I encourage you to choose gifted people around you, and not be threatened by that? It helps you in the whole balance of ministry. There are people who are wiser, who are more skilled, gifted, so that you can live a life of modeling what self-care looks like. Clarity of purpose. We talked about the sabbatical or taking vacation. This is confession time. How many of you never use all your vacation days every year? When I began in ministry, I used to hear senior leaders brag about the last time they had a vacation, as if that were a badge of honor. And I wish I could have talked to their families, because I don't think that would have been something to brag about. We do have vacation time. I want to encourage you to take it. We can roll over how many weeks a year?
Two
weeks a year. So if you don't take all four this year, you can roll it over two and have six the next year max. Take time for yourself. Sometimes, like me, because I travel, I want to do a staycation. And I have to negotiate with my wife. But we do go places. And it's very important that you, as Jesus did with the disciples, come aside and rest a while. Had the great privilege to go to Hawaii in August for a week vacation. It was the best rest I've ever had. It really was. And I told Kathleen, my wife, I said, "Bae, we got to do this again." It was good to come aside and just rest. And be intentional. Be what, everybody? Intentional about it. Be intentional about your vacation, your sabbatical time, your rest. What self-care does not look like? Unrealistic expectations. We can't be all things to all people. Role overload. Are you empowering your elders, your leaders, your board to do the work of ministry, or do you do it all? Lack of sleep and exercise, boundary imbalance, no Sabbath, and financial stress, overt need to be praised by the members. That's what self-care doesn't look like. And the lack of delegation and the lack of discipleship. Yeah. ADP, a company surveyed 25,000 people in 25 different countries about resilience. And here's what they found. I got about 5 minutes left. The highest levels of self-resilience exist when individuals fully trust their who? That's what they found from 25,000 people in 25 different countries. When you feel like you can trust those that you serve or those that lead you, they found that those people had more resilience. The other thing they found out is, read it with me, loving what you do regardless of your ability made you almost four times more resilient than those who didn't. Love what you do. That helps you to be resilient. Here are some references. The Resilient Pastor Initiative, of course, Ministry Careline is available to us and our families. A Common Table Collaborative for Clergy Wellness. These exist. Here are a couple of books that I would encourage you to read. Flourishing in Ministry, Depression in African American Clergy, Caring for Clergy. I had the great privilege to go to Duke University and talk to them about their studies and about the work that they were doing with Methodist pastors. They did a whole research on what flourishing looks like among Methodist pastors. And it was very eye-opening and interesting to me. And here are some other books, Replenish, Zeal Without Burnout, and Reset by David Murray. I want to encourage you to not be ashamed to take care of yourself. Self-care is not what, everyone? Selfish. Say that one more time. Self-care is not selfish. Let's take care of ourselves, because if the shepherds aren't taking care of themselves, the sheep are in trouble. Any questions or comments before we close today? Two questions, comments.
Are pastors allowed to have pastors off once in a while?
Are pastors allowed to have
Sabbath off?
Yeah, I think you can work that out with your congregations. A lot of my colleagues take off the fifth Sabbath a month. That happens once a quarter. And so especially if they have a district where they have more than one church, they usually take that fifth Sabbath off. Yes, that's a good thing. Yes, Pastor.
Earlier at the beginning, you mentioned 41 or 42% of pastors who stay consider quitting. I'm curious what that percentage is with other professions.
Yeah.
Because everybody considers quitting, no matter what.
Yes, that's a great point. Great point. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You know, contemplating doing something else doesn't necessarily mean that you will, but they were just sharing their heart with us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everybody feels like quitting whatever they're doing.
Hmm. Okay. Yes, Pastor.
So let me ask you this. In relation to that, is there any statistics in terms of the burnout rate among pastors, this profession?
No, but we did interview 750 Adventist pastors, and 14% of them felt like they were burnt out of that 750. I'm sure Barna has some research in this area as well. We are not immune from burnout, not at all, but that's all I have. Alan, that's all I have. Great question, though. Yes, sister, pastor.
Pastor's wife.
All right, praise the Lord.
I could not miss this session. The title alone really got my attention. I just want to suggest also that as pastors, like many other persons, they know when they're stressed.
Yes.
They know when they're burnt out. I want to suggest that if you get to
Yes.
And get some coping skills.
Yes, and let me put that on the mic so it'll be on the recording. There is definitely a need at times in our journeys for us to talk to someone who may not be a pastor. Seeing a therapist, talking to a counselor, there is no sin in that. And so that is a healthy way to cope and to get better in your journey of ministry. We are over time. I want to thank you all for being here today. Encourage your colleagues to take care of themselves. God bless you all.